You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 35, brain disease, symptoms, prevention, and how to grow brain cells. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the environment, and to help protect animals. A healthy plant-based diet consists of grains, legumes like lentils and beans, vegetables, fruit, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. I am very honored to have you here, and I want to say a big thank you to all of you who reach out to me. I know I say it a lot, but I can never say it enough. Your kind words and encouragement are what keep me going. In every day, I strive to work harder so I can provide you with nutrition information, recipes, and every tool you need to live a long and healthy life, because that is what you deserve. Before we discuss that magnificent organ known as the brain, I want to mention a couple of things. One that's making the news, and something that I found out that really disappointed me. Let's start with some new health news. On March 22, 2018, the World Health Organization, which is a global organization that is concerned and oversees international health, unlike our agencies in the United States, like the FDA, they are not influenced or do not accept money from outside food agencies and lobbyists. I consider the World Health Organization one of the most credible groups overseeing our health. So, at any rate, the World Health Organization announced a review into the potential risks of plastic in drinking water after an analysis of some of the world's most popular bottled water brands found that more than 90% of those brands contained tiny pieces of plastic. For example, in one bottle of Nestle Pure Life water, concentrations were as high as 10,000 plastic pieces per liter of water. And of the 259 bottles tested, only 17 were free of plastic. Although the World Health Organization can't yet identify the impact of plastic on human health, it was aware that it was an emerging area of concern. I will put a link to the full scientific report in this week's show notes so you can see the worst offenders. The next health hazard bugging me today is non-GMO labeling. Maybe it was just me, but I assumed that a non-GMO label meant that the food you were purchasing did not contain herbicides like Roundup, which contains glyphosate, which is a toxic chemical that is detrimental to your health. So now there is a whole new generation of foods certified non-GMO but contain harmful toxins. All I can say is don't be fooled by the label non-GMO. It doesn't mean it is healthy. The only label you can rely on here in the United States that is toxic-free is USDA Organic Certified. Ugh. It is always something. Why is it so hard to find healthy food? And no wonder so many people are suffering from food-related diseases. It's not their fault. All these manufacturers care about is the health catchphrase of the year and money. So the next time you see these non-GMO cereals, those cereal ingredients have probably been sprayed with pesticides and herbicides. Or that orange juice you've been drinking for years. If it's not USDA organic, most orange trees are sprayed with imazolil, a known carcinogen that causes developmental and reproductive damage in humans. I will put a photo of the USDA organic label to look for on packaging in this week's show notes. Now let's talk about the organ we are addressing today, the brain, and how we can keep our brain healthy. We talked about how to protect our brain from Alzheimer's disease in podcast number 25, but today we're going to delve a little deeper and talk about other brain ailments, symptoms, and prevention. We will also talk about how to grow more healthy neurons. Yes, many scientists now believe you can grow new brain cells, which will help you live a longer, more cognitive life. The human brain is a remarkable and complex mechanism, and we need to treat it with the utmost respect. The brain only weighs 2 to 3 pounds, but it is the powerhouse of the body. Brain health is vital to optimize functioning of the body and for mental health. 75% of the total brain mass is water. The brain can survive without oxygen for 4 to 6 minutes, after which it begins to die. On average, humans experience around 70,000 thoughts each day. Wow. That's a good reason in itself to practice meditation so you can give that brain a break. And did you know that 95% of your decisions take place in your subconscious mind? And although pain is processed in your brain has no pain receptors and feels no pain. That explains how brain surgery can be performed while the patient is awake with no discomfort. There are many things that can affect the human brain. And some of the diseases of the brain are Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, brain cancer, amnesia, traumatic brain injury, and brain tumors. We discussed the sharp rise of dementia in podcast number 25, but today I want to talk about diseases of the brain, including brain tumors and cancer. I don't know about you, but I have been hearing a lot of heartbreaking stories about brain tumors recently, which made me wonder if there was an increase in brain tumors and cancer, and if so, why? Here is what I found out. According to the American Brain Tumor Association, and I was shocked to discover this, brain tumors are the most common cancer among children ages 0 to 14. And that brain tumors are the third most common cancer occurring among adolescents and young adults, ages 15 to 39, and the third most common cause of cancer death in that age group. There are many types of brain tumors, and the most common are meningioma, gliomas, and glioblastoma. The cause of most brain tumors is not fully understood, but the best known environmental risk factor for brain tumors is radiation therapy. For example, they occur most often in people who received radiation to the brain as children as part of their treatment for leukemia. Other causes include a weakened immune system. Some say this puts people at an increased risk of brain disturbance like cancer or tumors. Also, genetic disorders, but not family history so much. Most people with brain tumors do not have a family history of the disease. Other unproven effects on brain tumor risk include cell phone use. Cell phones give off radio frequency rays, also called EMF rays, and it is a form of energy on the electromagnetic spectrum between FM radio waves and those used in radar, microwave ovens, and satellite stations. And we will get back to that. Other factors include environmental factors, such as exposure to vinyl chloride and petroleum products, and also exposure to aspartame, which is a sugar substitute. Never use the artificial sweetener aspartame for many health reasons. And if you're drinking a diet soda, check the label and make sure aspartame is not on the label. Now let's talk about symptoms of brain tumors, which can be very subtle. Recently, a high-profile actress revealed to a magazine that she suffered from a brain tumor and didn't know it. The first symptom was noticed by her Pilates instructor, who told her the right side of her body was dipping a little. Then she noticed that she was swerving into the right lane when she was driving. She thought she was just tired, and then she was hit with cognitive difficulties. She would lose her train of thought or not be able to find the right words. She finally went to a neurologist and had to advocate for herself to get an MRI because in today's health world in the USA, they don't hand out MRIs very often. The MRI found a brain tumor and she went into surgery and had it removed. I am happy to say she is doing quite well. Other signs for brain tumors can include headaches, especially ones that you wake up with, nausea and vomiting, blurry vision, seizures, personality changes, memory problems, weakness, paralysis, and impairment of neurological functions. Now, let's get back to those RF rays, radio frequency rays from cell phones. But before we do, I think we need a little break. So let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and make some brain food. In podcast number 12, I discussed the amazing study done in China in 2014 that showed the sulforaphane in broccoli helped get rid of an amazing amount of harmful pollutants in the body like air pollution and toxins. Toxins are very harmful to the brain and affect brain development, especially for children. So today, we're going to make the same drink that those scientists in China had those participants drink to clean the brain of toxins. All you need is 2 tablespoons of 100% pure freeze-dried broccoli powder, 1/2 cup of pineapple chunks, the juice of 1/2 lime, and 1/2 cup of water. And you puree that together and drink. That's it. I recommend this drink 2 to 4 times a week. You can find freeze-dried broccoli on the internet and make sure it's organic. Now, let's get back to radio frequency rays from cell phones. In 2015, nearly 200 scientists from across the world signed an open letter urging the United Nations and the World Health Organization to develop stricter rules around wireless technology and brain health. And their concerns were not just limited to cell phones. They also included baby monitors and Wi-Fi. They were calling for protection from something called non-ionizing electromagnetic field exposure. Although there is currently no consistent evidence that electromagnetic field exposure, aka RF rays, from cell phones and power lines increase brain disease or cancer risk, there is a worry that long-term use of cell phones may increase your risk. In other words, the longer we use cell phones, the higher the risk. The nearly 200 scientists who wrote the open letter believed that risk was especially worrisome to children and pregnant women, and they were demanding that regulatory standards be strengthened to limit exposure to radio frequency. They also called out manufacturers to develop safer technology. In the meantime, you can protect yourself by keeping your distance from your phone. Don't carry it around next to your body. Don't put it in your pocket, for example. Go hands-free whenever you can. Turn your phone off more often. No radiation is emitted when the device is off. Use a headset which minimizes radiation to the head area. Text more and limit your cell phone use to shorter conversations. And very important, wait for a good signal. When you have a weak signal, your phone works harder, emitting more RF rays. You could also use an EMF shielding device. If you search for EMF shielding devices, many will come up. No one really knows if they work, so be careful so you don't get scammed. You can actually buy EMF meters and see what fields are present in your house, like from Wi-Fi or wireless devices or baby monitors, and ambient EMFs from outside, like wires. I have never used anything like that, so I don't know if they work. And like I said, there is still no solid evidence that cell phones can cause cancer, but it doesn't hurt to be cautious. What is scary to me is that children, on average, are on digital media 8 to 11 hours a day, and that is a lot of exposure. I would sit down and have a serious discussion with your children about RF exposure and some of the ways they can avoid it. Now for the fun part. Is it really true? Do we really have the power to increase neurons in our brain to help keep it healthy? First up, what is a neuron? A neuron is a nerve cell that is the basic building block of the nervous system. Neurons allow the body to communicate because they transmit information throughout the body. There are several different types of neurons, and they are responsible for different tasks, such as there are sensory neurons that carry information from the sensory receptor cells throughout the body to the brain. Then we have motor neurons, which transmit information from the brain to the muscles. So, in a nutshell, neurons are important because we couldn't function without them. We wouldn't know how to eat, walk, or talk. So it's very important to be extra good to your neurons. It was believed that unlike other body cells, neurons stopped reproducing shortly after birth. Until recently, most neuroscientists thought we were born with all the neurons we were ever going to have. Several breakthroughs in brain science over the last few years suggest humans actually have the power to regenerate neurons and increase brain size. And this can change your life in so many ways. It can make you more sharp, it can increase your memory, and it can make learning much easier. According to neuroscientist Sandrine Thurette, in a very famous TED Talk, says humans can indeed regenerate new brain cells, a process she calls neurogenesis. And she said the benefits of neurogenesis increase memory formation, it improves mood, and it prevents the decline associated with aging. And guess what is crucial to new neuron growth? Dietary habits. Thurette says omega-3 fatty acids, present in hemp seeds, chia seeds, and ground flax, are crucial to neuron growth. Also, flavonoids from fruit, vegetables, and legumes. She also recommends intermittent fasting, which we discussed in podcast number 22 with Dr. Joel Kahn. Conversely, she says, dietary habits that have a negative impact on neuron growth are diets rich in high saturated fat, which we all know is meat and cheese. Also, stress, lack of sleep, and even certain medications can restrict new neuron growth. She said that some cancer patients unexpectedly develop symptoms of depression even after being told they are cured of cancer. Unfortunately, the new drugs they've received not only stop cancer cells from multiplying, but also stop new neurons from being generated in the brain, which has a negative impact on mood. Other ways to increase your neurons and improve your overall health is meditation. Meditation is one of the most important parts of my life. Remember earlier, I said the brain on average has 74,000 thoughts a day? That is exhausting, and you need to shut your brain down. I know what you're saying, I can't stop thinking, or I don't have the time, but all I do is devote 10 minutes a day to sitting or laying down. I actually love to put my legs up a wall to change the flow of blood and try to stop whatever I'm doing for 10 minutes. If thoughts keep coming, try the 4-breath method. It is hard to think of anything else when you're keeping track of it. All you do is breathe in for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and hold your breath for 4 seconds, and keep repeating that pattern. You are basically switching your mind from beta or alpha state to the theta state. Unlike your other brain waves, the theta state is the silent voice. I promise you will come out of that meditation with a clear mind and more creativity. Also, get mental stimulation. Read, take courses, draw, paint, or do puzzles or math. It is also very important to get physical exercise every day. Research shows that using your muscles also helps your mind. Exercising regularly increases the number of tiny blood vessels that bring oxygen-rich blood to the region of the brain that is responsible for thought. Another great exercise for the brain is yoga. Last but not least, stay connected. There has been an incredible rise in anxiety disorders and depression, especially among younger individuals. Many blame it on social media. I read a very interesting study on how depression is significantly associated with more hostile, negative parenting. If you have a parent like that, protect yourself from anyone who is demanding, deceitful, manipulative, and blaming. Create boundaries with those people because it's not good for your mental health. I always recommend trying to detach yourself in a way that is compassionate. In other words, you set up boundaries, you understand that they have the problem, and you refuse to get caught up in their emotional immaturity. I know it's not easy, but you deserve a healthy mind, body, and existence, and never let anyone make you feel bad. And last but not least, spend time with the people that love and respect you. Research shows that the more time you spend with the people that love you, the happier you will be. That's it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And if you get a minute, please rate and review so everyone can learn the health benefits of a plant-based diet. You can find all my recipes and podcasts on ordinaryvegan.net. Please join our Facebook community at facebook.com/ordinaryvegan so you don't miss any of my Facebook Live cooking shows. We are 315,500 strong. You can also find my safe, reliable, pesticide-free, gluten-free, vegan CBD oil from hemp products on ordinaryvegan.net. I have received quite a few questions about how all-natural CBD oil from hemp works, and here it is in a nutshell. When you are lacking the proper balance of the endocannabinoid system, you are in a state of disease. The endocannabinoid system is a very integral system that modulates almost everything within the body. Phytocannabinoids that naturally occur in CBD oil helps the endocannabinoid system modulate disease symptoms by putting the endocannabinoid system back into balance. Physical signs that your endocannabinoid system might be struggling to maintain its balance are if you are sensitive to pain or having a lot of pain from migraines or neuropathy, if you're feeling anxious or depressed, if you have chronic inflammation related illnesses like arthritis or excess inflammation, or you may have a skin condition. Many people in the wellness world are turning to CBD oil for its powerful anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety effects. Also, my CBD oil is from hemp plant, not the marijuana plant, so it's legal and it has no ability to get you high. Last but not least, I am finally offering a limited amount of one-on-one lifestyle and vegan nutrition coaching. Many of you requested it, so I made sure I carved out some time for that. Just go to my website, Ordinary Vegan, to find out more. Thank you again for all your support. I so appreciate when you take the time to reach out to me and for your kind words. They really keep me going. And I am so proud to serve you, and I promise to work hard every day to help you live a long and healthy life. Thank you, guys. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.